you actually shop. And I think that's the main word. You have to shop, that we look and see what's going to fit our situation the best. You know, our people spend a lot of time reading books and going online studying about the car they'll buy will they do their food shopping. How much more time should we invest in shopping for the right educational fit for our children?
This week on Come Receive the Light, we talk about education and our version of social media.
Well, I really hope that the ARC will do two things. It will be a community where Orthodox Christians can connect in a way that's truly meaningful, will help them solidify their faith, will help them share their faith. And also, I believe the ARC can be a bridge to those believers out there of other streams that are seeking. This should be a wonderful way to present our faith to those folks as well.
And welcome again to Come Receive the Light, a ministry outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm Mike Trout, and our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. I am so glad you've joined us, and I hope you'll become a regular listener if you're not already. You can find these broadcasts, and we produce a new program each week, on our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Just click on the CRTL link there on the homepage. And remember, we're a nonprofit outreach. If you are benefiting from what you're hearing, and if you'd like to help support us, then we would love to hear from you. There's a Donate Now button right there on the homepage. Again, that's myocn.net. Well, education has always been a very hot topic for parents. Personally, I went to public schools through high school and then a Christian university. Our children experienced it all: public school, private Christian school, homeschooling, public and Christian universities. And for us, they all turned out to be the right choice for the moment in time, and we were very thankful for that. But we didn't simply move into each option with blinders on. We prayed about each choice and did our homework, and as our guest suggested at the top of the broadcast, we shopped around. And to help you better process the choices out there for you, we've invited His Grace Bishop Thomas from the Antiochian Archdiocese to talk with Father Chris.
Thank you very much for taking the time out of your schedule, Your Grace, to be with us.
Thank you, Father Chris, and thank you for inviting me.
Some of our listeners may not know this, but you were a teacher before you were ordained. So would you talk a little bit about those experiences and how they shaped your thoughts on education?
Yes, I taught school in New Jersey for a number of years, and also taught in Texas, in Houston, Texas, for a few years. And while I was teaching in Texas, I served the parish of St. George in Houston, Texas. So I had the opportunity not only to work with the public school children and in a tutoring service, that a business that I owned, but also to work simultaneously with the parishioners and the children of our parishioners at St. George in Houston. And I have some experience in working with people who have sent their children to Orthodox parochial schools, some to Roman Catholic parochial schools, some to public schools, and of course, a homeschooling, mm-hmm. which has begun to grow an interest amongst many of our parishioners and many of the people in the United States. And now is beginning to have popularity, even in conjunction with the public school system.
Okay. And what did you teach, Your Grace? What
Well, initially, I taught history in high school. In fact, they made a movie out of one of the schools I taught in. It's called Lean on Me.
Sure.
Teesside High School in Paterson, New Jersey.
Wow.
It's a movie with Morgan Freeman.
That's quite a school.
Yeah, and that's the city I was born and raised in. I was born and raised in Paterson, New Jersey, and I not only taught there, but I went to public school there, to elementary school, middle school, and high school.
Okay.
And I eventually taught in the school system, and for a short period of time worked there as a building inspector. So I taught high school there. Eventually, I moved on to teaching middle school, and for a short period of time, elementary school,
okay.
till I went to seminary. After I went to seminary at St. Vladimir's, I moved to Texas and worked with the parishes in Beaumont, Texas, as well as Houston, Texas. You know, the churches there, St. Michael's and St. George and St. Anthony's, eventually St. Joseph's, all of which are in Houston. And while I was there, to supplement the income I received from the church, I had some experience in working in the public school system, as well as having my own tutoring service, which allowed me the opportunity to work with young people one-on-one, and also to employ a few people to work with our young people one-on-one.
All right, so you've had multiple experiences. We talked, you mentioned public, private, homeschooling.
And I even taught 1 year in a parochial school, Roman Catholic parochial school in Houston.
Parochial school. So from your experience, do you feel that one was inherently better than the other? I mean, how does it all pan out in the end?
Well, you know, Father, honestly, I don't think there's one fits all situation for anyone. Mm-hmm. I think that, as a matter of fact, there are school systems that are very, very friendly and very favorable to someone who's trying to raise their child as a Christian. I can tell you that the school system, for example, in Bowling Green, Kentucky, they do not allow any school activities to take place on Sunday, and nor do they allow homework on Wednesday nights, because in Bowling Green, that's Bible study night. Hmm. Here's a school system that's very friendly to Christianity, especially Orthodox Christianity. We have some school systems that really are very, very secular. They really are not interested in working with the church or young people that are involved in the church. And at best, okay, they're noncommittal, and in some cases they're even hostile to our priests and our parents when they speak of having the children involved in the church and doing things in the church. As far as homeschooling is concerned, it really depends on how you homeschool your children. I have a situation in my diocese where we have churches that have homeschooling co-ops. They even give them a name. For example, in Souderton, Pennsylvania, we have the it's called St. Justin's Academy. These are a group of people in the church who go under the umbrella of homeschooling, but actually what they do is bring their children to the church, and the parents work together in a co-op to teach the children together. I very much like that situation, mm-hmm. because it not only gives the parents the opportunity to work with the children, it gives the children an opportunity to be a part of the church, to be able to work and socialize with other children their age, and it's a very, very good situation for everyone. The state of Pennsylvania works with it very well, because they set up provisions for cyber school. And so the state of Pennsylvania is happy with it. The church mm-hmm. is happy with it. The parents are happy. And the children are just thrilled.
Okay.
So homeschooling on this level, I think, is a very, very good thing. I think you have to be careful with homeschooling that you don't isolate your children.
And that's what I was going to ask you. Does it have a tendency to isolate? Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have the experience of if they don't have the experience of being with other children and working and playing with other children, they're not going to be able to adjust very well when they do have to be amongst.
Right.
You know, the children of other ages who have other educational experiences. So we're working with the state of Pennsylvania because they have provisions for cyber schooling, and we're offering the state of Pennsylvania the opportunity to be able to bring socialization to the children who are being homeschooled. So I think if you use good sense and you actually shop, and I think that's the main word, you have to shop for the best situation for your child, I think all situations can work well. Some of the school systems, as I said before, are very friendly to Christians, and some are less friendly, and some are hostile. I don't think you want to put your children in a situation in which the school system is hostile to Christianity. And by the same token, even you can send them to private school or parochial school, and you'll find little difference between that and the hostile public school system, if that system happens to be hostile. So, as I said before, it's very, very important that we shop and that we look and see what's going to fit our situation the best. You know, our people spend a lot of time reading books and going online studying about the car they'll buy and, mm-hmm. Will they do their food shopping. How much more time should we invest in the education of our children? And as we and how much more time should we invest in shopping for the right educational fit for our children?
Well, I think what I'm hearing from you clearly is that we need to have parents who are engaged in the process, whether they're in public, private, or homeschooling. The parents must be parents, in other words. And what we have today is parents wanting to be friends or going out and doing what they want to do, and at times really neglecting their children. I tell young people today, if you want to get married and you're going to have children, just know that that's going to be your number one priority, is your family and your children as time goes forward, and not all the other hobbies you have. But the world, as you know, your grace better than I, is something that tempts us and pulls us away from the sacred, and we want to run to the spectacular. And that's a danger, I feel, many times.
I agree with you 100%.
Okay. It also is something I want to touch with you, is the public school system has changed dramatically in the last decade or two, especially when it comes to the teaching of sexual issues.
Yes.
What are some things that parents with children in public schools can do to make sure that their children are safe spiritually? And I'm referring to now, of course, the homosexual issue, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender issues that are coming out, mm-hmm. That are right in the face now of our kids and our parents. How do we deal with that?
Well, first thing I want to say is I think it's even more important that we go beyond being safe. And I talked about that earlier. We want to make sure that our children grow spiritually. We don't want them to be in an area that's stagnant. So the first thing that I would look at is ask the question, are my children going to be able to grow spiritually while they're in this school system? In regard to the sexual orientation, the teaching, sexual teaching, I think that you really have to go into the schools and look at the curriculum and listen very carefully to what's going on in the classroom. I mean, most school systems will allow parents to come in and observe. And I think that is very, very important. You know, when I was still in Texas, in Houston back in the 80s, I was working with the public school system. And even in those days, and we're talking about 25 years ago, I came home one day, I'll never forget, and they had the afternoon school special. ABC used to run an afternoon school special. And, you know, sometimes I would put it on when I came home while I was cooking dinner for myself. And I happened to come home one day, and they had this special on where we were talking about a young man who had two mothers. And the if you watch the presentation, the mothers were partners. And the message was that to the listener, to the observer, is the underlying message is that we had to be accepting of this. And that even gave you books to read, the children to read on, you know, alternative lifestyles. This is 25 years ago. They're going to be subjected to this philosophy, if you want to call it that, no matter what happens. I mean, our children watch television, mm-hmm. they're with other people, but as a matter of fact, we want to be able to teach our children what an orthodox lifestyle is. And we do not want them to be deprived of that. So my advice to parents is to go in and listen to what's being taught to make sure that you're going to be able to teach your children exactly what the church teaches. And as a matter of fact, the school system is going to be hostile to that. You have to express your objection to that hostility. You have to express your objection to your children being taught something other than that your church teaches.
Right.
And in some cases, you'll be able to have them excluded from certain activities that, as I said, their teachings are against that which we teach. In some cases, the school will not excuse them. They will insist that it's a part of the curriculum and your children must be a part of that. And if that's the case, then I think, as I said earlier, you have to go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be engaged, as you said earlier. You have to be engaged in what's going on. You have to be a part of it. You have to know what's being taught, and the only way you can do that is if you can actually spend time in the classroom yourself, or if you're a working father or a working mother, maybe have someone from your family go and sit in and observe, you know, on different occasions, you know, to come in and see, you know, exactly what's going on, and talk to your children. I know I've spoken to children myself that have told me of activities that go on in the school in this regard that are completely the opposite of what we teach in the church. In some cases, some of our children have been won over. And I'm not saying that they've entered into, you know, homosexual lifestyle, but they're very defensive of these lifestyles. I don't want anybody to make any mistake about what I say. I don't say that we should be mean or nasty or unchristian to people that have chosen these lifestyles. But as a matter of fact, being Christian and being loving does not mean we accept that which is being taught, which is exactly the opposite of what the church is teaching. So I think that, as I said before, is to be engaged, to be involved, to express your objection, if there's an objection to be expressed, and then if, as a matter of fact, after pursuing all avenues of the system, if that does not satisfy, you know, the spiritual life, then as a matter of fact, you have to exclude yourself from it.
Your Grace, thank you very much for being with us today and giving your perspectives on education. We very much appreciate your advice and your spiritual guidance.
Thank you, Father Chris.
Again, that was His Grace Bishop Thomas from the Antiochian Archdiocese talking with our host, Father Chris. And if you'd like to hear that conversation again, remember you can go to our website at myocn.net and click on the CRTL link for Come Receive the Light. Our archives are all available there. You can also enter into a conversation about the subject of education on our blog site called The Sounding, and perhaps interact with people around the world, not just around the country, but around the world on the topic of education. Again, when you go to the website, click on the blog link and open up all of the conversations on The Sounding. A reminder that Come Receive the Light is a part of the Orthodox Christian Network, a nonprofit outreach, and one of the ways you can support this ministry is by going to our online web store. When you're thinking about a gift or a resource, think about the online web store for the Orthodox Christian Network. A portion of your purchase price comes back to us in the form of a gift. Again, that's just one of the many ways you can support this ministry. For other ideas, click on the Donate Now button on the homepage. That's myocn.net. Well, OCN has three online radio stations, The Rudder, featuring a traditional all-music mix, The Anchor, which is all talk, and The Ark, which is a combination of more contemporary music and talk. At least for now, Roger Hunt is the new manager of our online radio station called The Ark, and he has some great ideas for its future, which he shares with Father Chris. But before we get into those ideas, let's find out a bit more about Roger.
Well, I come from Indiana originally. I became a Christian about 40 years ago during what was called the Jesus Revolution. I spent a lot of time in the evangelical Protestant persuasion. I was in a Christian community and participated in a number of denominations. And after a number of years, about 3 years ago, I was introduced to Orthodoxy and became an Orthodox Christian out on the West Coast where I was living.
Okay.
So that's the long and short of that.
And what did you do? What are some of the things you've done in life? Because you have a very interesting past.
Well, some of the things I've done include, and are not limited to, music production of all kinds. And in my earlier years, I was in radio. So when I was presented with the opportunity to work with the ARC, it was familiar territory in one sense, although the technology has changed since I got into it.
I'm sure it has. It changes every day, Roger. Every day it changes. Tell us some of your plans for the ARC and what is it you'd like to see it do and offer to our listeners?
Well, really, referring to our mission statement is what I'd like to do. We believe as Orthodox Christians that God is everywhere and fills all things, and man is created in His image. and man exhibits creativity, and we want to embrace and celebrate that. Therefore, what we're going to do is broaden the scope of the music that we play, because wherever we see music that is virtuous, honest, and some of the guidelines, I take Philippians 4:8 as a guideline, you know, whatever things are true, beautiful, honest, and virtuous, and there's a lot out there. So we're going to have a diversity of music, but it's going to hopefully be very edifying and help people on their journey.
And are you going to be speaking at all? Are you going to be interviewing people, or is it just going to be straight music all the time?
Well, we are going to have a variety of programs. Some of them will be interviews, such as Angels of Note, where I interview some Christian musicians who are dedicating their lives and their music to the Lord, and we'll have to hear what they say and let them introduce some of their music.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the programming will be musically oriented in the sense that we are going to have some talk, but the main thrust of the station is to present music to the listener. So we will have, for instance, I hope to have, among other programs that we want to launch in the future, a program of poetry readings and a program of introducing people to different ethnic centers around the world. And, of course, this will include music.
Okay.
So this will be another opportunity for people to become familiar with some new kinds of music.
You know, years ago when we came out with the Ark, people thought I was crazy. I have to tell you that. And we've gone through this. Is you are the second radio station manager. The last one was with us for many, many years. And now we're moving into another realm where we're just moving it faster because the technology is allowing us to deliver it quicker as well. The beauty of it, though, is we're allowing many of the young Orthodox Christian contemporary artists who are Orthodox Christians who really get zero play anywhere else to also have their music played on our station in addition to other Christian artists that are out there. Let me ask you this, Roger. Why do you think it's important to have an online Orthodox radio station that plays contemporary Christian music?
Well, in short, I believe it's because culture and faith are related. They're connected, and it's impossible for us to live, for instance, where we live in the United States of America, without being affected by American culture, pop culture, different things that affect our lives. And the music of people of God who are, they're contemplating God's word and they're trying to communicate God's word, this is important. It's important for us to listen to them and for them to have an avenue of speaking, of singing, and of being heard. And I believe that this will impact it will be salt in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It will be salt in our culture here.
You know, Roger, there are people out there who believe that the world is going to hell in a breadbasket, as they say. Many people say that. And they might be right in certain circumstances with what we see happening. Some are of the opinion that we need to sort of circle the wagons and live amongst ourselves. I personally don't prescribe to that. I think that we need to go out and be the salt of the earth and allow people to see who we are, and therefore, God willing, will emulate the faith that we have. I'm wondering, in closing, your thoughts about the Ark and what effect you hope it will have in people's lives.
Well, I really hope that the Ark will do two things. It will be a community for Orthodox Christians, because of what you already mentioned. We live in a technological age of advances that are just out of this world. Social media and Facebook and Twitter and things like that are being used by everybody. But at the same time, we, I believe, can create a community where Orthodox Christians can connect in a way that's truly meaningful, will help them solidify their faith, will help them share their faith. And also, I believe the Ark can be a bridge to those believers out there of other streams that are seeking, they're looking into Orthodoxy. This should be a wonderful way to present our faith to those folks as well.
Thank you, Roger. We wish you every success. How do people get in touch with you? Let's say they're listening to the program and they want to contact Roger Hunt, our host. What do they do?
Well, they can email me. That's one of the easiest ways. I'm RogerHunt@myocn.net. That's one way. They can go to our Facebook page, which is Fans of the Ark, and enter a comment there and ask to be contacted there. And that's pretty much.
Those are two good ways.
Those are the best ways.
Those are the best ways. Roger, thanks very much, and we wish you all the success in the world.
Well, thank you so much, Father Chris. It's great to be part of OCN, and you have a blessed day.
And just because no one said it, although I'm sure it's obvious to all of you listening, if you go to the website for OCN, the Orthodox Christian Network, and that's myocn.net, just click on the link to the ARC. It's right there on the homepage. Actually, all four internet-only radio stations are there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm Mike Trout. Our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Thanks, as always, to our executive producer, Ann Dankert. And let your friends know about this broadcast. Encourage them to listen and direct them to the website at myocn.net. We would appreciate that. And join us next week at this same time. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.